Amen.
Amen. Bless you. Have a seat. Dr. Bob.
Thank you.
Love you.
Love you too, man. Yay. Yeah. Oh, goodness. It's 4 degrees this morning at my home. And thank goodness it was over in the East Coast, Northeast, and now it's, you know, cycle over to the Pacific Northwest, where I'm from. Actually, flew in Wednesday into San Antonio to avoid a snowstorm. So, part of the joys of travel. Y'all doing okay? Everybody okay?
Yeah.
Yay, yay. You know, I have when I come here, you know, I really try to hear the Lord as to what God wants to do, wants to say for that period in time. And if you look back, you'll usually find my Saturday mornings and my Sunday mornings are in some significant way connected. I'm going to do a message backwards. That doesn't mean I'm going to... I'm going to show you how to do it today. And then tomorrow, I'm going to fire a different bullet that's still about the same message. But if they weren't here today, so you guys will... They're not going to know as well how to do what we're going to talk about today. I believe it is a now word. I believe it. You know, when you travel a bit, and I'm in different countries, and I hear the same word from God in different places, they're saying and doing, and the same words being repeated in the prophetic realm. How many of you realize that's probably something God's doing in the body of Christ? It's bigger than any one local situation. Okay, this is one of those words. Absolutely, I believe it is for the moment, in the moment, and hugely important. Tomorrow, you're going to understand a little bit more why I think it's so important. But today, I'm going to talk to you from the more practical realm. And the title of what we're going to talk about is Discovering Your Divine Design. All right, I have a lot of different... Hang on just a minute. I left my Wi-Fi on, and when you leave your Wi-Fi on and you're trying to preach from the same tablet, then all of a sudden you get all these drop downs and all that crud that, you know, y'all know how that works. There we go. We're healed now, I think. I want to begin with a question that I've begun with several times here before. Do you do what you do because of who you are? Or are you who you are because of what you do? Yeah, some of you just went cross-eyed. Do you do what you do because of who you are? Or are you who you are because of what you do? Now, if you came with someone, I want you to turn to them and give them your answer to that. Go ahead. Do you do what you do because of who you are? Or are you who you are because of what you do? Some of you are straddling the fence, taking the middle ground. You're not picking one. Well, it's kind of both. Okay, I'm going to focus on you do what you do because of who you are. So one of the most important discoveries in your life is discovering and understanding your divine design. Your destiny. Who God created you to be, so that you'll better understand what God wants you to do. Now, I want you to also see this is true for every local church, this is true for every community. You do what you do because of who you are. All right, now I'm going to give you some introductions. I always have long introductions, short messages. I'm going to give you a couple of introductory notes. You need to pop these thoughts into your mind, and they're going to be the backdrop that we're going to work off of. Here's your first thought. I want you to understand a little bit of a pattern of production, how God works in our lives. And to give that to you, I'm going to play off of Genesis 2, verses 4 and 5. And it says, this is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven. Y'all remember all that creation stuff. Verse 5, there was no shrub of the field yet in the earth, no plant of the field had yet sprouted, for the Lord God had not sent any rain upon the earth, next phrase, and there was no man to cultivate the ground. Here's what I want you to see. When God first created everything, it was barren. Usually when we begin to think, especially about Adam, we think about Garden of Eden. Okay, now first it was barren. And God said the reason it was barren is because he didn't have any partnership. There was no man to cultivate the ground. That's part of God's pattern of production. How many of you realize God could do anything he wants? I mean, his ability is not limited, it's not questioned. But God wants to partner. Most of the time, what he will do will not just be of his own initiative and by his own hand, but it'll be through someone. God wants to partner with man. That's part of God's pattern of production. Y'all okay with that? Kind of lock that one in? Let me give you another thought. Again, being precedes doing. Genesis 2:8, the Lord God planted a garden towards the east in Eden, and there he placed Adam, the man which he had formed. Eden is a place of limited expression, but extremely fruitful. Now, if God says he has to place man there, does that not infer to you that man was not there when he originated? Come on, guys, turn on your brains. In other words, the first thing Adam experienced when he was created was barrenness, not the garden. So God then puts Adam in the garden. I wonder why he did that. I'm going to suggest to you he put Adam in the garden to give him a model. It's a model to guide Adam's purpose, a model to guide Adam's divine design, which was, the purpose was to reproduce the fruitfulness of the garden in the barren places of the earth. Now, if I'm pausing and waiting, it's because I'm kind of trying to read your eyes and make sure you're tracking with me. Got to connect the dots here at the first. So here's the process. First, God puts something in you which causes you to become. I'm going to talk to you about what he puts in you, but that causes you to become. Then he places you in the barren places so that you can reproduce the fruitfulness of the garden in the barren places of your life, your city, your country. Now, I don't like that a whole lot for one primary reason. I live in the state of Washington. And we were just talking with some of the brothers that, you know, it's a beautiful state, love the people, hate the politics. God, why am I here? I'm a Texan. I mean, I'm a Texan at heart, Texan by birth, Texan, you know. Why am I here? So I'm preaching to you from my own journey. Well, I put you here to produce the fruitfulness of the garden and the barren places of your experience in your life. But how do you do that? All right. Y'all tracking with me okay so far? Let me give you another thought. Now, I'm giving you two introductory thoughts so far. You got to partner with God. He wants to put something in you so that then he can put you into barren places, and because of that something in you, you're going to act and react in a certain way that produces fruitfulness in the barren places. Okay. Now, here's a third thought, Ephesians 2:10. Used to be a very popular verse back in the 90s. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we should walk in them. Let me read that again. For we are his workmanship. By the way, if you look up that little word workmanship, you'll find one of Strong's Concordance's definitions is broadcast of heaven. Isn't that a weird word? We are his broadcast of heaven, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God's got something he wants you to do. which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in him. So he's saying that God's writing your story, and your story begins with something, a unique, I'm going to use this kind of metaphor right now, a unique sound or song that God puts within you. Ernie, you have a song. Julie, you have a sound God's put within you. I'll describe that in just a minute, what it is. And it says that even though he's doing that, then he'll put you into circumstances and situations so that the sound within you will have a desired effect. You'll have a certain reaction to your environment according to the sound within you. For those of you that get into quantum physics and all that kind of stuff, part of God's divine design includes both light waves and sound waves. I mean, this stuff is awesome if you ever read any of the latest stuff coming out, cutting edge in medicine, and how much sound waves and light waves are now becoming parts of medicine. Cell regeneration, things, all the stuff that keep your body healthy and up and going. Part of this is God's divine design. Okay. We are his broadcast. So God's put a sound within you. I'm going to take that approach to divine design for this morning. Okay. John 3, verse 8. Nicodemus. Jesus talking to him about being born again. And he says, truly I say to you, unless you've been born of the water and born of the Spirit, can't enter the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of flesh is flesh, born of spirit is spirit. Don't be amazed that I say to you, you have to be born again. Now, that's all good. Y'all, most of you digest that pretty well. But listen to the next part that he says. The wind blows where it wishes, but you don't hear the sound. Excuse me, you do hear the sound. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound, but you don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. So is everyone born of the Spirit. Okay? So in other words, I'm going to say to you again, God's put a sound within you that he wants to generate through you into the environment where you live to create his desired effect, to create heaven on earth, if I can use that kind of expression. Fruitfulness of the garden in the barren places of your life. According to the sound. Good fodder for one of your books, Paul. Because it sounds sci-fi-ish, nearly. Okay, let me begin to kind of focus this now so you'll understand what we're talking about. So when you're designed, you're created to have a certain sound within you. Okay, we'll talk about what that is. Other people refer to that sound as a greatness. I believe God has deposited greatness in every person. But today I want you to think of this greatness as your song, your sound. And there's so many stimuli in the earth that will ignite your sound but won't touch anybody else's. So all of a sudden you get excited, perturbed, anxious, disturbed about something going on, but the other people, they don't give a rip. Why? They got a different song in them. But there's certain environments God can put you in that are going to ignite your stimuli, or are going to ignite your sound. They're going to catch your attention because your divine design is unique, that the person next to you might not have the same action or reaction. Y'all okay? Okay. So let this lock into you. Your job is to resonate according to your design in the subject. Your job is to resonate according to your design. Again, I'm going to give you practice on this in a minute. Don't worry about what other people do. You resonate according to your design. Don't try to live what they want you to live. Resonate according to your design. Now, that doesn't give you liberty to be a knothead, but it does give you liberty to be unique, to be who you are. Because if you live so much of your life trying to be what somebody else wants you to be, pretty soon you're going to forget your divine design. You're going to lose your sound. It's So you will respond to events around you according to the sound God has put within you. If you don't, in today's world, how many of you realize there's a whole lot of stuff going on right now? And I'll highlight some of that tomorrow. I've never seen as intense spiritual warfare in the last 10 years of my life as I've seen right now that we're in. And it's real easy to get intimidated and to get overwhelmed by all the crap going on. So what I'm trying to do is help you redirect so you can walk through this stuff. You need to focus your attention on who you are, who God's made you to be. What is your sound? What is your divine design? So that you'll strengthen your tools and walk in your path. Play your song, resonate your sound. I'm telling you guys and gals, this is really huge. So in creation, we all have a divine blueprint. And that's imprinted on your soul whether you're born again or not. So you ever wonder why fortune tellers or people that traffic, mediums that traffic in some areas of darkness are able to do what they do? Because they have a divine blueprint that's very much prophetic. They're just stepped one side too far, and now they're in the kingdom of darkness rather than the kingdom of light, still trafficking, still hearing. The blueprint's still working. Their divine design is still active. But they're in the wrong kingdom. Y'all okay with that? I'm just trying to give you some examples. So God's given you a divine blueprint, imprinted it on your soul. So he wants to broadcast himself through you in this way. One of my favorite prophets in the Old Testament is Habakkuk. And if you know where that book is, turn there. If you don't know where it is, use your table of contents. That's why God put it there. If you're real smart, get those tabs and put them on the end of your Bible. Habakkuk is really keen. He's really good. He has a grasp of this whole sound from God issue, this identity song. And he'll give you some insight on how to discover your sound. And that's where I'm going this morning. Habakkuk starts where most heart sounds start. So I'm going to read from the Message. I really like Habakkuk in the Message. This is cool. Listen to what he says. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. The problem, as God gave Habakkuk to see. By the way, the word problem, many times in the Old Testament, is translated burden. How many of you have had a problem in your life and it becomes a burden to you? Okay, it's a weight, it's a heaviness. Sometimes it uses the word oracle. That's the same word, but it's just getting a little, it's a burden that weighs down so heavily on you that it produces an utterance. Thus the word oracle, a sound. So he says the problem is God gave Habakkuk to see. Listen to Habakkuk. God, how long do I have to cry out for help before you listen? How many times do I have to yell, help, murder, police, before you come to the rescue? Why do you force me to look at evil, stare trouble in the face day after day, anarchy, violence, breaking out, quarrels and fights all over the place? Law and order have fallen to pieces. Justice is a joke. I told you we're going to talk about a timely word. So Habakkuk's saying to God, you know, I see this thing. It's become a burden on my soul. God, aren't you going to see it? Here's what I want you to catch. His burden, which is because of his song, his sound, starts as a complaint. Now, you're going to be looking for your sound and your divine design. Many times your divine design is best seen in the forms of your complaint. He starts with a complaint, a burden. Many times before you consciously aware of your heart's sound, your identity song, It begins with an irritation in your spirit. And certain things just irritate you. Okay, Julie, do you have things that irritate you? Well said. Okay. Something happens. Something's done. Something is said. And it just doesn't fit right in you. And you want to know why? It begins as an irritation because it's bumping up against your sound. Part of God's divine design. Part of your greatness. Part of the blueprint of God for your life. You notice how I'm using those and equating those, sticking them all together? So Habakkuk starts out about this irritation of injustice that he sees. And he acts as though God doesn't see the injustice. I love this about him. He starts yelling, God, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Don't you see this? How long are you going to sit there until you do something about it? Okay, question. Answer honestly. Have you ever had those feelings? Like Julie would said, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay, here's what I want you to begin to see. God's letting you feel that way for a reason. He's letting you see certain things. He's letting you communicate your frustration. God, how long are you going to be before you listen? Man, that's quite an approach to an Old Testament prophet, don't you think? You know, the way I read the Old Testament, he's likely to get smoked in his hinder parts if he... How many times do I have to yell, help, murder, police, before you come rescue? Why you force me to look at this evil and all this travesty day after day? Why are you putting these things in front of me that are going to get me so upset? Now, let me give you a little side note here. This is before Facebook. This is before the global injustices are pumped into your whole system day after day. I'm not exactly sure how world-traveled Habakkuk was, but he wasn't global. But you and I hear everything imaginable all over the world, happening all over the world every single day through all of our medias. It's almost as though somebody's trying to oversaturate your sense of justice. Somebody's trying to dull your sound, to dull your song, to simply overwhelm you with what's going on. So when you're faced with an irritation in any area where you're wanting to see change, many times we will begin with, God, what's going on? How long are you going to let this happen? Why? Why? But by the way, why is the wrong question? Why does not lead you to the answer? When you say to your child, no, you can't go spend your night at your friend's house, and your child says, why? That's not really a question. Why is another way of expressing disapproval of your parenting style? Okay, Mom, Dad, I'm going to give you another shot at that. Why is another way that we express our disapproval of God? Okay, God, I disapprove of how you're doing your job. I'm going to give you another shot of this. So remember, why is not really the question. It's simply a way of expressing the irritation that's in your spirit. Something happening, and you don't know why it stirs you. So that's where we usually begin to look. I don't know why this continues. I don't know why. But the real question should be, what? What do you want me to do? What changes my... See if I can say it this way. I want you to see when you change from why to what. The what changes my why from powerlessness to empowerment. You're making notes, you need to write that one down. The what changes my why from powerlessness to empowerment. This is how we begin to draw the Lord into the things that need his power. Lord, I don't know why this continues to happen, but what do you want me to do? Are y'all getting that? This is how chapter 2 begins. It begins with his burden, with his irritation of spirit, with his complaint. But what do you want me to do? Habakkuk 2:1. I made my complaints been known to God, again the message, and now we will read his response and I'll find out the adjustments I need to make. That's how the message records it. Now, if I just stand and complain, I'm not really ready to make adjustments of what it is you want me to do. If all you're doing is standing, complaining, focusing on your whys, why is this happening, why, you're not really to make the adjustments that are going to be required of you when you begin to ask what. I'm talking about your divine design, guys and gals. I'm trying to help you kind of ooch yourself there inch by inch. If I just stand and complain and ask why, I get locked into this fearful state of powerlessness, and all I'm seeing is the enormity of the problem, which robs my faith. So we move from complaint that has stirred me into action by changing our why to a what. So we need to move from our complaint to be stirred into action. And by action, I don't mean posting something on Facebook. That's not what I mean. I mean, the what aligns your behavior. I'm willing to align my behavior, God, my priorities, my energies towards a solution. Now that's important. Let me pause there. Take a breath. Are you connecting the dots? Do you have a dot that's not connecting you want to ask about? Because I'm about to give you the critical piece that we're going to chew on this morning. All that's introduction. You're about ready for the message. You ready? Okay. How do I move from complaint, from this irritation, so I can really determine what my sound is, what my song is, what my passion is, what the greatness God has put with, what my divine design is, what the blueprint of God is for my life? Those are all different ways of basically asking the same thing. And I'm trying to get you to a place of authentic identity where you don't try to be what somebody else wants you to be, but you're being the person God wants you to be, even with the irritations that are occurring within you. And the reason you're getting irritated is because things are bumping up against the sound God has put within you, the design God has put within you. And your spouse, best friend, other people may not be bothered at all by what you're irritated at, and you're wondering, why can't they see this? Not about them, it's about you. Release them to be who God created them to be, and you be who God created you to be, so that you can reproduce the fruitfulness of the garden in the barren places God has put you. And the reason that something is irritating you, because it is barren. Here we go, Habakkuk 2. God's beginning to give Habakkuk. You know, he's come with this irritation of spirit and his complaint, and now he's asking the right questions. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? What adjustments do I need to make? And God is about to give him a critical, important tool to identifying the sound God has put within him, the divine design, the blueprint, the greatness. You ready? Here it goes. God says to Habakkuk, write it down. Say what? Write it down. Cindy, do we have paper and pen? Okay. Is it? Oh, everybody has some? Does everybody have paper and pen? She has it. If you don't, okay. Because you're about to need it. There goes Scotty. Got one honest guy in the whole group. Write it down. Awesome. You got a complaint? Write it down. You got an irritation of spirit? Write it down. You have something burning inside of you? Write it down. You got a sound, a greatness, a passion? By the way, maybe this Irritation that began as irritation of spirit. God is trying to get you focused on part of your passion of life, why you were created, your divine design. Why you're alive. Write it down. Okay. We're going to do it in just a moment. I'm going to help you a little bit more. Here's something I want you to see. How many of you have experienced a prophetic word, a God-spoken, God-now word delivered over your life? I don't care how it's delivered, through a prophetic person, a song that came, a something on the radio, maybe in your quiet time alone with the Lord, something all of a sudden really hits you and impresses you, the light comes on. How many of you have experienced something like that? When I'm going to use the word a prophetic release, is that okay? It's spoken over you, and all of a sudden, things come into alignment. Things start happening. Action comes. And all of that thing that you've been thinking about, praying for, hoping for, all of a sudden it begins to move forward. It's as if that word spoken began to release something into the spiritual domain that kicked things into gear. Baby, hang on. Hang on, Sloopy. You know, we're about ready to go for the ride here. Have you experienced that before? Okay, here's what I want you to see. Writing something down has the exact same perfect effect. Let me even say it to you further. I believe that anytime you release the creative within you, do you hear that word, creative? It releases the spirit of prophecy, the prophetic. In other words, I believe you could do the same thing through a painting. You could do the same thing through a song. You could do the same thing through a dance. Anytime you're releasing the creative, and it doesn't have to be one of the arts. That's my topic tomorrow. But it can be one of the arts, that it actually throws things into a timing that aligns you with God's timing, and all of a sudden, the right people begin to come into your life, doors begin to open, other doors begin to shut. What's happening? Divine timing. Your divine design is shoving into gear, not because God's changed it, it's because you're getting into alignment. And actually, when you begin to write things down, it's not so much about what God's doing as it is about what God's doing through you. It's bringing you into a place of alignment. Are y'all okay? All right, Bob, that was good. All right. Write it down. I believe something about when you release that, when you write it down, when it's prophesied, when it's released creatively, it puts us into a position, an alignment where God can now partner with us. Did you hear that? Puts us into a position, an alignment where God can now partner with us. Okay, Lord, so what is it you want me to do? Write it down. Now, how many of you missed that very important part? What does God want you to do? Okay. Now, here's something you need to know that you can't really get just from reading it, but some of the unusual things that we study when we look at the original languages happens to do with tenses. And how a tense may be a present and progressive tense. In other words, write it down and keep writing it down. Ain't a one-time thing. Don't just write it in your journal and refer to it later. Keep writing it. Let it be an ever-expanding novel. Why? Because in that process of you continuing to write it down, you're going to get enlightened. You're going to get illumined as to what this divine design is. As part of your process, you begin to understand what God is talking to you about and why the irritation in your spirit. You start to actually understand where God wants you to focus. And suddenly you're moving from complaint, from irritation, to action. You know, when you really know you have an irritation, something's bothering you, but when you really know what to do to bring change in it, when you really know it and what you need to do, all of a sudden things don't irritate you so much. Because now you've readjusted your focus. You're not focusing on the problem, you're focusing on the solution. What's happening? Well, eventually, progressively, you're beginning to spend more and more time on your divine design, in your divine design, in your divine purpose, releasing your sound. Write it down. Because your greatness, your divine, your sound, it wants to break out. It wants to resonate. So what's happening in you wants to convert to life, changing action. So wherever God puts you, you begin to become a source of releasing the fruitfulness of the garden in the barren places of your world, your life, your city. He wants to convert it to life-changing action. Move you from irritation to action. Now, how do you do that again? Write it down. This is how you begin to understand your sound. How many of you have had the practice journaling? Okay. You know, that's interesting because we do have several guys that lifted their hands. Dominantly, it's women. I don't know if it's just because they have more time or what. I don't think it is. But I'm telling you guys, you need to get into a habit. Write it down. What? The irritation that's in my spirit, the complaint that I have, write it down. Now, if you have trouble identifying that, ask your spouse. They'll help you. Because they know as good as you do, probably better than you do, the things that irritate you. And there's a reason that they irritate you, and I'm suggesting to you, it's not just because you have one set of standards and they have another. You want to roll the toothpaste up from the bottom and they want to squeeze it in the middle. You leave the toilet lid up, they want it down. It isn't just those simple things. But I'm talking about the disturbances that are in the world right now that are significant things that last from year to year, from decade to decade, and are actually increasing. The intensity's increasing. And we want to move at some point from complaint, frustration, to life-giving action. Yeah. Write it down. Write it down. He says in verse 2, write this, write what you see, write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. Why is that? Because when you get busy, when you start running, things can sometimes get fuzzy. As a pilot, one of the things that we know that we call tunnel vision is the faster that we go down a runway, the more limited is our peripheral vision. 90 miles an hour, this is our peripheral vision. 100, 110, 120. The narrower and narrower is our peripheral vision. But you notice along the sides of the runway, as you're going down the runway, they have a big old number sticking up there. That's to let them know how many more feet they have before the runway runs out. 12,000, 11,000. But those things are huge, and they're lit. Why? They're big and bold because the faster they go, pilots need to be able to see it in their peripheral vision without losing what's right here. Or in their pop-up, if they're fortunate enough to have pop-up. Write it down. Keep it in front of you. Write it down runnable, big and bold. Don't let it become something you forget that gets lost along the way. Write it down. Don't just write a scripture or a cliche. Write it down practically in big, bold letters so that it's runnable. So that it's runnable. Now here, I want to give you a real interesting thought. in that passage, when he talks about writing the runnable vision that others may run, that word actually, if you look it up, again, I'm just giving you revelation straight out of Strong's Concordance. It means to herald or proclaim. Huh? Write it down so that others may herald and proclaim. Let me make a suggestion to you. Who in the Bible had the specific ministry of heralding and proclaiming? Was it not the angels? Michael the archangel. Herald, proclaimer. What I'm going to suggest to you, that those who proclaim it may run, I just wonder if this may not be a reference to angels running with us in this divine design. So as we're writing things down, we're not only releasing things into the spirit realm, but we're invoking the spiritual realm to come to our aid in sounding our song, running our vision. Do you remember that Hebrews 1:14 speaks of angels and he says, are these not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for those, for the sake of those that inherit salvation? Who are those that inherit salvation? That's you and me. Angels don't have that. It's not their realm. But he said these angels are there for our benefit, to help us run the race, sing our song, accomplish our destiny, find and walk out our divine design. Just a thought you might want to consider. Okay, so here's what I want you to understand. Your vision, your divine design is actually looking for you. It's searching for you. And it usually begins with an irritation, which we express via a complaint, which usually sounds like, why? Why is this happening? Why? Which God wants to change that to a what? What do you want me to do? And in that process of changing, it refocuses you from the fearfulness focusing on the problem to an empowering that focuses on a solution. This is huge for this day and age, men and women, because we've managed to raise up two generations, maybe three, that aren't quite so able to see the solutions as they are acutely aware of the problems. And all they do is recycle the problems, resound the problems. They let the problems determine their sound. No. So what does Habakkuk say? What does God say to him? Start writing it down. Begin with the irritation. Begin with what bothers you the most. This unholy discomfort, or this holy discomfort. Your complaint. And again, if you have trouble, talk to someone who's real close to you. We're going to do this. That's why I had you take pencil and paper. I didn't want you to just hear this and not do it. I want to at least get you through one journal entry where you begin to write some things down. And then I want you to expand on it. Keep writing it down. And I'm going to challenge you with this. When you begin to do this, as we begin to do this in a moment, you're going to begin to see some things happen in your life. From this morning forward, you're going to see some things coming into alignment. Things begin to change. Some doors shutting, other doors opening. All of a sudden, things begin to move. People come to you that are necessary to fulfill God's divine design in your life, part of your destiny. Things come into alignment. Opportunities begin to hunt you down. Just write it down, and you're going to begin to be amazed how opportunities are going to start to find you. So you have basically one job of application this morning. What is it? Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't walk away. How many of you know there are going to be challenges? Anything that's worth it is going to have challenges in front of it. When is the last time you walked along a beach and found diamonds? Well, you don't find diamonds on the beach. Where are the diamonds found? They have to be mined, and they have to be mined deep in the ground under pressure, under difficulty. So as you face the challenges, as you begin to discover, feel good about your divine design, all of a sudden that irritation is going to turn to passion. And you're going to begin to become passionate. Once you see the steps of action, actions to do what? To release life in my area of irritation, my area of my song, my sound, my divine design. As you begin to discover, clarify, understand what it is God created you for. I could say to someone like Paul and Julie that I've known longer than I've known any of y'all, and it's more than being pastors. That may be part of your journey, but it's not your divine design. Journey does not determine divine design. Divine design determines journey. Of course, that's because you make right choices on the journey, according to your divine design. Y'all doing okay? So you've been called, you've been anointed, you have gifts. You've journeyed enough, Aaron, where you've accumulated necessary experiences that give you maturity, insight, that are all part of your song. That are going to allow you to impact and to release life no matter where you go. And all of a sudden, God begins to pour favor on your life. That's what it's going to feel like when all these things come into alignment and doors begin to open, people come to you, things begin to move forward. When that release, that prophetic release, as you begin to write things down, is that particular... How many of you realize favor can come on your life, but you have to point that favor in a direction? It's kind of like a gun. And when you point it in the right direction, it releases life, it releases healing and power and all that stuff. But you can have favor and not point it in the right direction, and it's not going to accomplish divine design. Come on, y'all smile. Are you still connecting dots, or have I lost you? Come on, talk to me. We're small enough, we can talk. All right. Now, I've used the word sound, and I've thrown out a few verses that talk about hearing and so forth. Here's another one that kind of weighed in on my title. Habakkuk 3:1 says, a prayer of the prophet Habakkuk with orchestra. How many of you know when you have an orchestra, it makes for a song? A song comes from the heart. It's an expression. It's the broadcast to heaven. Begins with an irritation, a complaint, a burden. But as you begin to write it down, your heart comes into alignment and you begin to partner with God. So as Adam partnered with God, God begins to move into your situation. And now you live. And you have this sense of awe. I want you to listen to what he says in Habakkuk 2 and 3. It says, God, I've heard what our ancestors say about you, and I'm stopped in my tracks, down on my knees. Do among us what you did among them. Walk among us and work as you walked among them, as you bring judgment, as you surely must remember mercy. Then he says in 17, 18, and 19, he says, though the cherry tree doesn't blossom, strawberries don't ripen, though the apples are worm-eaten and the wheat fields are stunted, though the sheep pens are sheepless and the cattle barns empty, man, that's a pretty desolate picture, isn't it? I'm singing joyful praise to God. I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior God, counting on God's rule to prevail. I take heart, I gain strength, I run like a deer. I'm empowered. I'm passionate. I feel like I'm the king of the mountain. I like that. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you know, as you're writing things down to help you get your focus, to help you hear your song, to help you understand your divine design, remember what God has already done for you. How did you get here? Where's here? Where you are right now? The song of remembrance. While you were wandering, he was still guiding you. Remember all the amazing things he's done in your life. Remember the testimonies of the power and the presence of God that you have seen and heard and experienced. You know, one of the foundational stones of any leadership team is that every time that you meet together, you start with the good news. Hey, what's the testimony of God in your life? What's God doing? What's God saying? Somebody talk to me about what God's doing. What's God saying? What's he doing in your life? So that everybody can remember why we're doing what we're doing. That's how you start a leadership team meeting off. Allows a team to first get the proper perspective so that problems don't consume your focus. We can only gain heaven's perspective when we focus on what God is doing and what God has done, not on what God is not doing or what God has not done. Oh, that was really good, Bob. Let's say that again. Okay. We can only gain heaven's perspective when we focus on what God is doing, what God has done, rather than focusing on what God is not doing. Why are you not doing this, God? What God has not done. So you begin your times focusing on the greatness of God. And as you do that, your problems become increasingly dim. So you focus on what God is doing, and his light will shine brighter and brighter. So that's the context of your song, your sound. God is good. With him, nothing is impossible. We're going to attach our faith to that so that we can expect more of the same. Your complaint starts with fear, with irritation. It focuses on need, focuses on the problem. It focuses on what God is not doing. Complaint doused in fear is an injection of powerlessness. You need to write that down. A complaint doused with fear is an injection of powerlessness. But complaints are designed under the hand of God to lead you to your song, to your vision, to your sound. But a vision doesn't work. The divine design doesn't work unless it's met by faith. So when I stand in a place of knowing God is good, he loves me, it's a place where my complaint, where my irritation gets transposed into my song. A victorious hymn. Yep, complaint doused in fear is an injection of powerlessness. Not going to change anything. Keeps you disconnected from faith. Though the cherry trees don't blossom and the strawberries don't ripen, I'm going to praise him. I'm going to do cartwheels. Joy because of his faithfulness, because he is faithful. That's my song. I'm reminded over and over he's faithful. Even when I'm not, even when I'm weary, when I want to give up, he's faithful. And as a result of that, he deserves my complete devotion. He deserves my complete devotion. Habakkuk ends with this. No matter what it looks like on the outside, no matter what, I'm singing joyful praise to God. I'm turning cartwheels of joy to my Savior God, counting on God's rule to prevail. I take my heart, I gain strength, I run like a deer, I feel like the king of the mountain. So Habakkuk, remember, this is what I want you to do. You got that burden, that irritation in your spirit? I'm going to try to move you into your divine design. I'm going to move you from powerlessness into action that releases life in the midst of such turmoil and dismay. Habakkuk, I want you to focus on who I created you to be. Some people call it identity, who I made you. I'm using the phrase divine design. Blueprint, greatness, all equivocal. So okay, God, okay, I see what you haven't been doing. Through remembering you and what you've done, I'm going to move into areas of thankfulness and gratefulness. Now, what'd you say I need to do? Write it down. Keep writing it down. Right. What down exactly? Begin with your irritation. Begin with your complaint. Write that down first. And then as God begins to modulate that, shows you that, keep writing it down. He's going to show you more and more his solutions. And his solution may not be what the next person says, because God didn't create you like the next person. You're of unique design. And God wants your sound, your song to be released. And if the other person doesn't follow it, release them to be who God created them to be. Quit getting on everybody else because they're not. Because that same moral issue or ethical issue or value is not their passion of heart, not their drumbeat of life. During these times, you got to discover who God has created you to be, and you have to sing that song. You have to release that sound. Because when you do that, it will create fruitfulness in your life. It'll help refocus your favor. It'll open doors that no man can shut. It'll shut other doors that no man can open. All of a sudden, divine appointments begin to happen. Your life comes into alignment, and the purposes of God begin to speed up within your life. Things begin to move forward. Why? Because the prophet released a word over my life? No, because you begin to write it down, and it had the exact same effect as that prophet releasing the word over your life. It actually affected the spiritual realm, where angels come alongside you and begin to help encourage, move, change, heal. Write it down so that your life becomes increasingly focused on who you are, so that you can understand why you are here. Write it down. While you're doing that, remember his faithfulness, his greatness. Yes. So you can constantly broadcast wherever you are who God has created you to be. You can constantly broadcast how great he is. Are you okay? Okay. I picked a song, one of my favorites.
Are you going to sing it?
I will. Sweet baby Jesus. No. I'm not going to sing it. This is a Maverick City version. She's already got it queued up. She's going to play it. Video's going to play up here. I want you to take the paper and the pen, and I want you to write down your divine. I want you to write down your sound, your song, your divine design. And if you don't have real clarification on that, real clarity on that, some of you already know some of that. But also take a good look at the things that irritate you. Begins with an irritation in your spirit. The things that you have the complaints about. The whys. Now listen, if you're still yelling the same whys and you still have the same complaints that you had 2 decades ago, then chances are you've not moved into any place of fruitfulness, and all you're doing is complaining, and you've not asked God, what do you want me to do? What's my role in releasing life and action into this situation to bring about divine change? To release the fruitfulness of the garden in the barren places that you've put me. Y'all smile at me when I talk this way. Write your complaint down. And while you're writing, listen to this song. Crank it up, please.
Time again, you have.
sun setting sight. I remember. I remember many years ago when I first came to the Lord. I began to read my Bible, and I had this incredible voracious appetite for the Word, which is a problem when you're taking calculus and organic chemistry and all this kind of stuff, heading for med school, because it requires so much time. But I remember I was reading my Bible, and everywhere I would read, I'd see this word soul, which was totally unfamiliar to me. What does that mean? And deep in my heart, I began to think, okay, one day I'll probably preach about that. That's really important. The heart, the soul. And those of you that know me, and so I began to write it down, and I've got notebooks. I mean, notebooks of little 3, 4, 5 liners, things that God would impress upon me about the soul and about the heart. And those of you that know me in the last number of years, probably 80% of the messages I preach has something to do with the issues of the heart. I mean, we can preach about church government and I'll somehow get to heart issues. Why? Because that's my song. It's part of my sound, and I'm no different than any of you. Did I just wake up one day and God says, you're going to be a doctor of the heart, but not as you suppose? No, that came later, but that's what he said. And what I didn't understand, it wasn't going to be a cardiologist, it was going to be something else. So the more I wrote it down, the more I began to understand, more things came into clarity, more I was able to move from confusion and move through into plans and steps of action, what to do, when to do, how to do it. Again, I'm no different than any of you. So today I gave you a little rehearsal, and I'm going to challenge you. You know, I come here, and one of the frustrations of speakers anywhere, whether it's your pastor, whether it's you as a parent, is that you share things with people, and then they take it, they do it one time or twice, and then it kind of falls by the wayside. I'm telling you, men and women, if you'll take this and you'll continue to do it the way God told Habakkuk to do it, you'll write it down and keep writing it down, you're going to watch your divine design begin to unfold before your very eyes. Things are going to begin to happen. It will ignite. It will release a timing, an alignment in the Lord, where doors begin to open, people begin to come in your life, all the things that you've been waiting on begin to happen. Your passion, your greatness. And all of a sudden, your focus begins to change, and you're not so problem-focused, complaint-focused, as you are now an ambassador of change. Hey, I'm going to release the fruitfulness in the garden and every barren place God put me. I'm after it. Get out of the way. Here I come. Come on, stand up with me. Grab a hand of the person next to you. Put your arm around them. Begin to pray for them for clarity of this divine design, of their purpose. Go ahead, just begin to whisper your own prayers for the people on either side of you, that God would release the clarity, that there would be a focus, there'd be an urgency, there'd be a desire, tenaciousness, discipline, to write it down, to continue to write it down. Lord, begin to open doors that no man can shut, shut other doors no man can open. Father, to bring my heart into alignment, that I can become, instead of an agent of complaint, I can become an agent of change. Increase the focus. Lord, thank you. You've given us a sound. You've given us a song individually, but even as a community of faith, as a local church. We love you, Jesus. We want to partner with you in your purposes, in our lives, in this city. Lord, we pray for courage to risk, courage to dream, courage to move ahead. Or we pray for supernatural strength. Come on, you keep praying too. Pray for supernatural strength to stand, even in opposition. Lord, help us to understand, but help us to become so that we may be effective. Transcribe the song within our hearts. That everywhere we go, we release life. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, guys. Love y'all. Do you have questions you want to ask? Is there anything that just kind of... Yes, ma'am. Cindy. Some would try to translate it that way. That's not exactly... No, that is a result, though. Be who you are. It may not be who... Yep. And guys and gals, that is a piece of reality, but let's balance that reality. That doesn't give you permission to be a jerk. Yes, it does qualify and say that when you're being who you are, it may rub up against who somebody else is and who their what their irritations and complaints are. Okay, but we have to learn how to live with each other in an understanding way. So that both of us can bring our part to the purpose, the design of God for our family, for us as a husband and wife, for us as a local church. But yes, I hope it helps you understand a little why you may have an irritation there. But I want to challenge you, instead of focusing on, you know, that again is not a license to be a jerk. But also challenges you to do is to begin at that point and to try to understand why is it so. But to move from why is it, what is it, God, you want me to do? Because if you stay on the why, it's going to focus you on the problem, and you're never going to get to the what is it. You're never going to become part of the solution. You're always going to be in the gallery complaining and criticizing, bitching and moaning. And if you're still there, and you've been there for a while, then you obviously have not write it down. Let's see if in the writing of it down, you don't come to some understanding. You come and God moves you to change your heart so that you can live with each other in an understanding way. And you allow and release each person to be who they are and to bring who God has made, to bring their sound. How beautiful are orchestras? But many times one sound, you got that oboe squeaking, you know, or the bassoon doing its thing. Some of these unusually sounding instruments all by themselves, they don't have the beauty, but when they're brought together, incredible harmony. Write it down. Habakkuk, along with the orchestra. I love that kind of music, because what that does is it also kind of cradles and filters my spirit in an attitude of gratefulness and thankfulness while I'm trying to hear and while I'm trying to write down. So it keeps me focused in the right direction. But you're right. Appreciate that, Sonny.
So mm-hmm. Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
So we all know, especially through social media, through all kinds of ways,
mm-hmm.
that Christians are complaining all the time about how terrible
mm-hmm.
things are in America,
mm-hmm.
how terrible things are in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those complaints are so valid.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let's just take what you said. So rather than complain about, and I'm not picking on you, I'm
yep.
talking about
anything. Go ahead.
In this room are into politics.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of complaining about it, go do something about it. Like, find out what God wants you to do. Go get on a school board and help get the pornography out of the libraries. So I'm asking practically.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, and that absolutely. That's
quit complaining about how terrible things are.
Yes.
Find out what God wants you.
That's what we want to end up in. But you don't just jump on a cause for a cause sake. What I want you to do is to try to hear and discern who God created you to be, so you understand your piece of the pie, your sliver, your passion, your greatness, what God has put in you. Because we do what we do because of who we are. We don't just go do what we do because somebody else is doing it and we jump on their bandwagon because it's a good cause and it aligns with our moral absolutes. Okay, so I'm trying to encourage you, yes, in answer to your question. That's where you want to get. You want to get from somebody who's not doing anything, who's focused on the problem and is a griper and a complainer, to somebody who's actually a source of action, who's releasing their song. In their song, their passion, their burden, their purpose, what God has put within them, as it's being released wherever they're at, it's creating fruitfulness. It's an action thing that produces life, that produces change, what Julie is talking about. So it's not, you know, again, I say, if you're still complaining about the same things you were complaining about, it's one thing to acknowledge and to identify an inequity, an injustice. Okay, that's good. Do that. But then the next step is, why does that bother your spirit so much? Well, it's because it should bother everybody. No, 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 no. Not so, Nanu. Why does it? And once you begin to come to grips with a little of that, it will begin to bring clarity as who God's created you to be and what He wants you to do. Because you're not going to do everything. You need to find your focus, your purpose, your peace. And become skilled and really good at that. Develop your tools. And as you walk through times like this, when all hell breaks loose, you are not discouraged, full of fear. Why? Because I'm not focused on the problem. I'm focusing it on God. How can I partner with you so that I can release who you created me to be, the song you put within me, in the barren place that you've taken me, so that I can help bring life into whatever segment, whatever situation, whatever issue, I can bring life into that the way you want me to. Because you're unique and you're not like everybody else. And you may not do it like everybody else. That's why you don't just jump on a bandwagon. Now, there may be times God says, yeah, go support that guy. Go support that gal. Yeah, help. You know, but even within that context, I believe God has a unique expression that He has within you that will release a piece of life into that situation, circumstance, issue that He wants released.
So I see an arrow being released at a very specific target. I don't know what that is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as long as you're focused on the problem, you'll be full of fear, not of faith. And how many of you remember some little verse, obscure little verse that says, that which is not of faith is, it ain't going to work, is what they're telling you. Not going to work. Good point. Well said, good point. Anybody else? Where'd you go?
A global sort of view of it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. You know, it begins with you, doesn't it? So if you deal with this that's here, then you're able to bring health and life into a relationship. If you don't deal with personal, individual, usually what you contribute to a relationship is discord, more pain, okay? And then once you get that area a little bit under focus, then you're able to contribute into a community, able to contribute to a bigger sector and a bigger sector. But it very definitely begins with your individual heart. And that's why I said your song, your sound, who God created you to be, the greatness he's put in your heart, your passion. And many times I say that, then people move, they gravitate into, oh yeah, I'd like to play golf the rest of my life. No, not exactly what I was focusing on. That's why, and that's why I jumped onto the Habakkuk passage where he begins with his complaint. And God transcribes his complaint into his purpose. How did he do it? By writing it down. You know, and that's part of processing. Helps you process, think and rethink. Turn it over in the crucible of your imagination. Not your fantasy, your imagination. Well, God, I want to be an NBA basketball star, but I'm only 5'1". Probably ain't going to happen. That's fantasy. Y'all okay with that? So many times, what we like to translate as passion is really pleasure. Never mind, another message. No, you already used yours. Yeah, go ahead. No, please, please. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well said. That's a good way to say it. Well said.